put on his heart to share with us today. And I pray that we'll have open and receptive hearts to what you want to say to us today. Thank you, Lord, and I ask you to bless him in Jesus' name. Amen.
Kia ora koutou. So, just want to say what a wonderful day it is to be a British citizen and a New Zealand citizen. I don't think I need to draw your attention to that anymore. So, funny story, Ken White rang me up a couple of months ago and he said, "Oh, Simon, we just had this missions committee meeting. Prayer and self-denial is coming up, and one of the themes is around people being treasure. And I just wonder if you could, you know, share some words at church about that." And I thought, "Oh yeah, that's cool. I can share some words about most things. That's not too hard." And as the time drew near, I was reflecting on it, and I thought, "Have I actually been asked to preach a sermon?" Because I thought I was just sharing a kind of a notice. So I think the moral of that story is, if you're asked to do something, ask good questions. So That's not today's message, but that's a little bonus message for you for this morning. And I'm going to get my, do that thing that everybody does where they say, "Is this thing working?" And if I can't persuade it to work, I'm just going to say, "Wendy, can you please advance my slides?" It is. Now, let me see. Oh, yes, no, wait for it. One moment, please, caller. Now, at about that point, I'm just going to say, "Can we please advance the slides?" And, oh, hello, there we go. Right, we're away. So I'm just going to ask you, please, just have some words on the slide here, just around ways that people might be a treasure in your life. Oh, hello, Ken. I thought you were away. In what ways people might have been a treasure in your own life? This is our topic of the day, people being treasure. And I just ask you either to reflect to yourself or just chat to a neighbour just for 1 minute. Just someone sitting beside you, a tip for the men in the audience, in the congregation, if you're talking to your wife, that would be a great start, a great place to start if you're discussing treasure. So yeah, just chat amongst yourselves just for 1 minute, please. Thank you very much. Thank you. Can I just have a couple of people just share a couple of things, ways in which either they've just shared or someone has just shared to them, ways in which other people have been treasure in their lives? Don't be shy. Yes.
I have a daughter that's 20, and she was born 3.5 months early.
Yes.
And this you know, it was like all the Holy Spirit, and the words were, she is going to live, but this is not going to be easy, and it wasn't. Mm. At 9 months born, she had an ovarian cyst, and it was the size of an orange, and they said it was going to be the size of an egg, and when it came in, it was gangrenous and ready to burst, and she would have died, but she lived through that, and she's nearly blind in one of her eyes, and she was patched when she was 8, and this girl's been through a lot. Earlier this year, 2 days before her birthday, she tried to take her life. She cut her wrists and took an overdose, and I've been praying, and she's coming right, and she's such a wonderful person, you know. She has such a wonderful spirit. She's such a kind, caring girl. And this week I had a close friend die, and she was there for me, and wow. She's so kind, and I love her, Mum. She's a gift from God.
Wow, that's a big story. Thank you for sharing that. So a daughter born prematurely with some significant health challenges who's still there supporting you now. Thank you. That's gone right to the heart. I was kind of looking for some of the more superficial things, like I love my wife because she makes my lunch. and that's okay too. Thank you for that. Anybody else who might just have a thought? Yes, please. That's very nice. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. I'm just going to step to one side. Just hold those thoughts for one moment. I'm just going to step over here and give one last notice about something that's happening tonight. So the well is happening tonight. The well service is happening at 7 p.m. for those who might wish to come and participate in that worship service. So I've heard some great conversation, and we can probably all think of people we value for the kinds of reasons we've heard shared just now, for some of the things that we can see on the slide, and we'll come back to that a little bit later through the message. So this morning, we're just going to talk through the story in the early chapters of Exodus. So this is where the Israelites are having a pretty tough time. So they're in Egypt, and stuff is not going well. It's just a brief, we're just going to skip through it a little bit, and then we're just going to see how that might relate to us today and to our theme of prayer and self-denial, and the theme in that around treasures. So from Exodus chapter 2, the Israelites were groaning in their slavery and crying out, and their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. So God looked on the Israelites and was concerned. So the cries of the troubled. This is the first... just first little part of what we're going to look at this morning. So what are the cries of the troubled in our modern world? So we're going to look at a couple of things. One thing we're going to look at is a business in Calcutta called Loyal Leather. And this is connected to Transcend and to the Baptist Missionary Society. It's a social enterprise. It's a business with a heart that's taking women from the streets, women with their own stories of trauma and oppression, who've been bought and sold and trafficked and are not working in a great place. And it's bringing them in and offering them alternative employment, which allows them then to access some hope and connect to their dreams and their hopes. It's a business that really works in the field of potential and hope. A little bit closer to home, those of you who are Facebook friends with me might have seen a small rant about this a couple of weeks ago. There's some cries of the troubled here, and it's a story from the Star a couple of weeks ago around a robbery, an armed robbery of a petrol station. The man who was on the counter was threatened with death. It was not a nice thing to happen, and I really empathise with that. So there's a cry of the troubled there. There's a cry of the troubled on the other side of that counter too. The teen robber, as the headline says here. There's some pretty stuff pretty hard stuff happening on both sides of that story, and we could probably do a whole sermon on that if time allowed. Much closer to home, this is the Papua Nui Library. In this particular, you know, the roundabout here, Sisson Drive, Langdon's Road, it's an area really where we can see some really pretty awful urban design that's contributing to social conflict in our community. There's something missing from this picture. What's missing from this picture, there used to be a bench seat out the front of the library, and the trouble with the bench seat was people would come and sit on it. And not just people, but young people who swore and spat and, you know, were not being particularly nice. And it was a little bit intimidating for other users of the library, so there was a solution to that, of course. The bench seat was taken away. Problem solved. Except if you don't have a bench seat to sit on, but you want to sit outside the library and access the Wi-Fi, what do? You sit on the steps by the door. So how do we solve that problem? And I'm really not criticising the library, particularly thinking I might be being recorded here. So the solutions to that, the library employed a security guard and then deployed the mosquito device, the ultrasonic teenager repellent. This is, again, a cry of the troubled in the sense of there's library users who genuinely should be getting in and out of the library without feeling intimidated. There's young people who need a place actually to spend their time, who need access to the internet, who need to be able to meet with their friends. There's several sides to the story, and it's not a unique Papua Nui story either. I've been talking to librarians here. This is a national issue and probably other places as well. Libraries attract all kinds of people, and they're not all there to read books. Thank you, Robert. So in our own lives as well, I'm sure we will all know people who are broken and hurting, people who might need to be shown some love and comfort. And possibly there's even a third question here, if people have hurt us or if they're not very lovable, you know, not only how do we, but should we? Where does this fit into our story as believers? And I would put it to you that this is where it fits in, from 1 John. John's writing here saying, actually, if you're going to say you love God, then actually coming attached to that is loving people. You can't have the one without the other. The command we have from Christ is blunt. Loving God involves loving people. You've got to do both. Somewhere not very far away, right on the next page, where do we get this command from Christ? From Mark 12. So this is Jesus here answering some tricky questions. And he talks about the most important commandment, and he actually gives us two in a package. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is this, love your neighbour as yourself. So loving God involves loving people. And as a community of believers, our second greatest commandment here is to love one another as ourselves. So to love God, we love others, and to love others, we must love ourselves. So there's something here about the inner condition, how we feel about ourselves as well as about others, perhaps how we value or treasure ourselves as people. So what about valuing ourselves? Just back in Exodus into chapter 3, So Moses, at this point, we've had the early part of his story. He's been through his youth, a very risky start to his life, his privileged youth. Moses the murderer, Moses the runaway, Moses the shepherd out in the back blocks. And this is where God's connecting back in with Moses and drawing him back and actually commissioning him to do a piece of work. And as I'm sure most of us will know, Moses didn't actually think this was a particularly good idea. Who am I? Surely not me. And in chapter 4 he goes on, you know, what if they don't believe me? He gets a bit more polite. Pardon your servant, Lord, in chapter 4. I've never been eloquent. Pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else. So how well, you know, how did Moses value himself? Did Moses see himself as a leader, as the right person? And the story here really is of, you know, the unlikeliest of people being used for the significant work to outwork this part of our story with God. In my own life, there might be a few people here who recognise this. I see that hand, Jeremy. Dragged this one out of the archives. This is a flyer for the Rock Solid program from 8 years ago. 2009, and there's a whole story that comes with this image, and a story that really came after it as well about my experience and me as the unlikeliest of people to have kind of unexpectedly become a volunteer with a youth program back in 2009. And what's happened then, and if I ever get invited back after today, maybe we can go into that one a little bit more. But again, the unlikeliest of people, I was on a whole different pathway at that point, and I never would have believed I'd be where I am now doing what I'm doing in community. So what we can learn from Moses, and what I've learned from my own experience, is kind of summed up in this. This is a whakataki that a colleague of mine used in a presentation earlier this week, and it really connected with me, and I thought, I will take that for Sunday. E kuri au e naro, he kākanau e roia mai e rangiatia. E kuri au e naro, I will never be lost. He kākanau e roia mai e rangiatia. Literally, fairly literally translates, I'm a seed sown in rangiatia. Rangiatia is the origin place, the great place. This is some of you might know, there's a song connected with this, which the words are, I will never be lost, I'm born of greatness. And it just really speaks to potential that is in all of us. I'm a seed of tremendous potential to grow. We all have that potential, and we're all made in the image of God, so we all come from greatness. So we've considered the cries of the troubled, we've considered the value that we might put on ourselves, and then we're into the third part of this. How might we value others? So we had Moses, pardon your servant, send someone else. It seems the Lord wasn't particularly happy about this, but actually it connects back into us as humans, as people, and our need for relationship. Which I suspect we inherit as created beings, from a God who has a need for relationship with us as well. So what about your brother Aaron? As luck would have it, he's already on his way. So we see we see God's patience being tested here, but then we also see the kind-heartedness of God. We see that the Lord connects Moses with his brother as a companion, and we know God hasn't intended us to walk through life alone. We're created as social beings. We crave relationship and connection. And those are cravings which draw us into relationship with God, but also into relationship with each other. And that's a two-way street. It's not just that I need closeness from others. It's a connection. It's a two-way thing. Where I work, so I work in community. I work at Te Ora Hau, as many of you will know. And we often talk a lot about what it means to be an organisation that is simultaneously kaupapa Māori organisation and a kaupapa karaiti, a Christian organisation. How do we hold these two things together? And how do we outwork them both authentically? And a phrase we often use is about mana-enhancing interactions with people. No matter what kind of work we're doing, our youth workers, our community workers, the team I'm involved in is the school attendance service, which people more commonly know as the truancy service. We're kind of in the field of social support, working with families who are doing it pretty tough sometimes. And we're kind of in the field of social control. It's actually the law that you send your children to school. But we can still outwork that in a way that is true to our values as an organisation, our personal values and our model of practice. And the language we use around that is around enhancing people's mana. And that's a small word. There's a pretty big concept behind it, and I don't claim any expertise in this field, but I'm learning. It's kind of picked up here in Philippians. In humility, value others above yourselves. Don't look to your own interests. Look to the interests of others. For those of you who are interested, there's a very fairly brief video that's available online that really unpacks this whole concept of mana and how a person's mana can be taken from them, but also how it can be given back to them and how it can be built. And it's a video, it's a presentation by a gentleman who polarises a few people, polarises all the way into jail in his case. So Tame Iti from Tūhoe, he says in this video, it's a TEDx presentation from TEDx Auckland just in recent years, "No one can tell you that you are not important and your experience does not matter." And he unpacks the Māori concept of mana, and he unpacks that concept of value, of self-value and the value of others in a really, really easy way to follow. So I'd encourage anybody who's interested, have a look at it. It's shifted my worldview a wee bit watching this. So what might this look like for us or in our world today? Wendy, I'm going to ask to play that video, please, that I said I might ask to play. If I can just get you to pull that up now. We're back in South Asia at the Loyal Leather Workshop, and this is going to start to bring us back in towards the message around prayer and self-denial and how that connects to the campaign that is running at the moment.
Paul and Sarah, Michaela and Malachi have dedicated their lives to serving the people of South Asia through the Loyal Workshop. They do this because they believe that people are treasures. But the horrible reality is that we live in a world where people are treated like commodities that can be bought and sold, where people are not treated like God's children, created in His own image. The Loyal Workshop, along with other freedom businesses, are all about rescuing and restoring the broken and marred treasures of God. You guys, our New Zealand Baptist family, you are supporting an incredible work being done in South Asia. You are helping us restore dignity to the people we serve. You are making it possible for us to journey with broken people as they rediscover how precious they are to God, to realize they are precious in His sight, that they are His treasures and His valued children. No longer should women be treated like commodities. No longer should women feel they are only worth a handful of rupees. The ultimate price has already been paid through Jesus Christ, our Savior. It's not an easy journey, and it takes time to build trusting relationships. But Paul and Sarah are reminded every day as they set foot into the workshop just how much the Lord loves these women immensely, despite their past struggles. As they watch the woman at work, they see glimpses of the kingdom of heaven as the ladies care for and help one another. It's an amazing sight. So please pray for the people we serve in South Asia. Pray that through our work there, we can help them discover dignity, value, and worth. And may they come to know they are beloved treasures of God.
Thank you, Wendy. And moving back again from South Asia, back to Papua Nui. If you look down at the Papua Nui Library at the moment, there's an exhibition on the windows on the outside. The exhibition's called Polyphony. We've spoken, or others have spoken about it here in recent times. Just wondering if my clicker's working again. Yes, it is. There's a piece here, I'm sure you probably can't read the words from there. I'm not going to read all of this now, but it's on the window. This is a public story that this young woman has shared, and it's a pretty tough story. It is a story with a happy ending, and this is it's a story. If anyone would like to read a copy today, I've got a copy in my notes here. It's a story of some pretty serious violence in this young woman's family and in her life. It's a girl who's 14 years old now. When she's sharing this, it finishes. "I found a new family, somewhere I can just be me, somewhere I truly felt safe and secure. And that place is and always will be Te Kau Papa Whakaora, Te Oroho o Te Ōtahi. I can't claim any role in this girl's finding of belonging in my organisation. There's others here in this church who can, but I'm proud to be part of that organisation. And it's the story of young people who have done it tough here, just in our community. We don't have to go to South Asia to find some pretty hard stories, but young people who can find connection again, find whānau, sense of kaupapa whānau amongst people that that they recognise they'll be supported by and be safe with. And we had the formal opening of the Polyphony exhibition at the beginning of June. And some of our students and some of our other young people stood up in the library and shared their stories and explained the story behind this art. This is the fourth year, I think, of Polyphony exhibition now, this Youth Voice exhibition. I think we've finally cracked it in terms of the relationship between our young people and library, because now we had at this opening a librarian in tears, which is, there's a heart connection that's been made there now. And that, again, it's the library staff looking at our young people and seeing the story that's behind and the value and the potential, not just the very real difficulties and problems. So this is where we're landing with a message today around loving others and people being treasure. We're loving others not because we're good people or we're Christian. We're loving others because there's God in them. Something special about valuing people, not because they value you, but because you can see God in them. From a Californian pastor, let us love with word, not with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. So I guess the question I'm going to close with is, in what ways can you offer a helping hand, a supportive smile, a cup of tea or a free barista coffee to someone who perhaps is a no one to the people around them? We're called to spread the good news so the people of the world will know that they're valued and precious to God. Thank you.